Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit through your work on earth is done. I say thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit with your work on earth is done. I said thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit your work on earth is done. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jehovah Almighty. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jehovah Almighty. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jehovah Almighty. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jehovah Almighty. Father, Lord, we bless you, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you adoration. Indeed, Lord, we say you are good and your mercy endureth forever. We say, Lord, you are kind and your faithfulness is forever. Lord, we say you are merciful, for your love endureth forever. Lord, we pray, we thank you, we bless you. For indeed, it is only by your hand and in your name are we alive. Lord, we declare, we commit our hearts, our minds, and our body unto you. We declare that in the mighty name of Jesus, we cause this body to be receptive unto your will and unto your word in the mighty name of Jesus. May the ear hear and may the eyes see, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. May the mind and the intent, O Lord, receive your word and may it be planted and deeply rooted in us in the mighty name of Jesus. We come against every plan of the enemy, any agenda of the enemy to frustrate whatever we are about to do, the reading of your word, the study of your word, in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare the enemy will not have their way, the enemy will not perform their enterprise, the enemy will not exact upon anyone, in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, brood over us, grant us insight, grant us understanding, and grant us in-depth know-how of your will and your counsel. Reveal yourself to us, O Lord. Let us perceive you and your will and your purpose, O Lord, in what we are about to share. That at the end, O Lord, your name will be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak to our senses and we declare they will hear the word of the Lord and respond to it in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done and let glory and honor be given to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight, this evening, I welcome you to Springs of Life. And this is a program we air every Sunday evening. And it is intended to bring to us believers the purposes, the will, and the intent of God. It is not enough to be born again. It is not enough to be born again. We ought to grow in the faith. There is a need for us to come onto the place of purpose, a place where we are fulfilling purpose and the mandate of God. And this broadcast is intended to empower us as believers and to move us into the dimension where the Lord has foreordained for us. Once again, I welcome you to Springs of Life. All right, so this evening I would like to share with us what I have tagged, the supernatural edge of a believer. The supernatural edge of a believer. And when we talk about an edge, we talk about an advantage. An advantage, yes, an advantage. A particular thing you have, your opponent doesn't have. A particular quality you possess that the enemy doesn't have. And that particular advantage could be knowledge, right? Could be an extra strength, a wisdom, something particular that you possess that the opponent or the one you are in contest or in battle with doesn't have. And these I would like to share, and there are a lot of things I'll be sharing. With us, and it's my belief and my prayer that by the time I end, we'll all come into one understanding and into one perspective as to where the Lord is leading us. It is very, very important you understand this. So like I said, an edge is an advantage you have. And this advantage that I'm talking about is a spiritual advantage. Though it may have physical implications, but it's a spiritual advantage. And this advantage, although I have made it sound as if it's one, I didn't say advantages, it is one. It's one component with several dimensions. It is one component with several dimensions. And as we dive into this, I want you to you know, open your heart, open your mind, and open your soul to receive what the Lord has through the eyes and the ears of the Spirit. Now, I would like to mention that it is important for every believer to know this. Yes, it is very, very important. As long as you are a believer and you walk this earth, it is important for you to know you have an advantage, you have an edge. And this is intended to enable us walk in a better perspective of things. Yes, in all that we do, wherever we find ourselves, this particular knowledge will enable us to have a better perspective in every area of our life. every area of our life. So in this series, yes, it's a series I will continue next time. So in this series, I'll be sharing with us the edge a believer have. So in the first place, I will start with the edge as a son. The edge as a son. You see, let me take this opportune moment to list them. Right, we'll be considering the believer's edge as a son. Right, we'll be considering the believer's edge in the place of authority or power. The believer's edge in the place of dominion or enforcing the will of God. Then the believer's edge in the place of estate, that is where you are, who you actually are in a particular place. Do you understand? We're talking about the believer's edge in the place of goodwill or fame. Right? We'll be talking about the believer's edge in the midst of the army of God or the host of God, which are angels. We talk about the believer's edge in the place of speech or the power of the tongue. We talk about the believer's edge in the place of the language that you can speak, which is the Spirit's language. Then we talk about the believer's edge in the place of the personified being that dwells in us. So we'll be considering the believer's edge in different dimensions. And lastly, we'll be considering the believer's edge in the area where you have the opportunity to pray. Yes, as a believer, you have the opportunity to pray. In your place of prayer, whenever you call on the name of the Lord will answer. So that is an edge that we have. Then lastly, we'll be considering the believer's edge, right, as far as the name of God is concerned. The name of God is concerned. The name that has been given to us. Yes, that's how the scripture describes it. The name given to us. So we'll consider it in those dimensions. And at the end of the day, it all sum up to one particular component as the edge that you have. And today I want to focus on the believer's edge in the place of authority. Right, in the place of authority or in the place of power. Right, and in the process of time while I'm discussing, I may touch the believer's edge in the place or as a son. In fact, that is where I'm starting from, as a son, but my concentration or my focus will be on the power and the authority. Then later I'll come and discuss the sonship of God in an extensive and elaborative manner. So without wasting much time, I we jump into our scripture. We are considering the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12. John 1:12 is a very popular and familiar scripture. It says, "Yet to all who received him and to those who believed him, he gave them the right to become children of God." This is NIV. "Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Now, when you move a bit further to verse 13, it says, "Children not born of the natural descent, nor of human decision or her husband's will, but born of God." But what? Born of God. So, like I said, when we talk about an edge, we talk about an advantage you have. And over here, the Bible is saying that in the area of sonship, you being a child of God, you being a born again Christian, one of the edge that you have is that you have been given the right. When you read it from the King James rendition, it says that you have been given the power. So in the King James we hear, as many that believed and received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. So you becoming a son comes with the mandate or the authority, which has to do with your power. God didn't just make you a son. God didn't just make you his child. He gave you power as well. And that is what I want to dwell on today. Later I'll come and talk about the sonship extensively. So, like I said, let me just give you an intro to the son in the area of sonship. Now, you being a son of God came by believing. I want you to understand that. Came by believing. You believing in Christ Jesus automatically made you a son of God. So the reason we are diving into this is that we have believers that believe in Christ Jesus but do not see themselves as sons of God. There is this motive that have driven through the generation, and that motive is that, oh, as human you are not perfect, you are of a sinful nature, you are the descent of Adam and so on, and therefore you are not perfect, because we have the picture that every child of God, every son of God, must be perfect, must be righteous. Yes, you are righteous, and the righteousness that you carry, it's not your own righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Christ. It's a righteousness received by faith in Christ Jesus. So the perfection that we bear, the perfection that we carry, is the perfection of Christ. So we believe him, right, and we receive him. Now, the aspect of receiving him has got to do with you receiving all that he did. One package in all. He died for us. He died for our sin, so that we need not to face the punishment. We need not to face the penance that comes with sin. He did that so that we will be saved. But not that we only be saved, so that we are imputed on with righteousness. So that we carry his holiness. So that we carry his mandate and power. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. So you accepting Jesus Christ, or you receiving Christ, is not just receiving him as a savior, but you receive him with an inclusive package of all that he has done on the cross. So no wonder he said, it is finished. All that needs to be done is finished. It's done. So when you believe in Christ Jesus for the redemption or for the forgiveness of sins, it doesn't end there. You are reborn. You are reborn, and this rebirth is done by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? It's a regeneration that takes place by the Spirit. So no wonder when you go to the verse 13, it tells us that those children that he's talking about, those who have believed God, they are not people who are born in the carnal or the fleshy, you know, manner, but rather they are born of the Spirit. Do you understand? And when you go further to John chapter 3, it even talks about being born again. And he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So if you are born of the Spirit, it simply means that you bear the Spirit's nature. And the Spirit of Christ is holy, is righteous. And that is what you bear. So it is not your own righteousness. It is not your own righteousness. It is the righteousness which is in Christ Jesus. The righteousness which is in Christ Jesus. So accepting Jesus Christ receiving Jesus Christ, believing Jesus Christ, comes with the titleship or the entitlement of a son. And you being entitled as a son, the word son here stands for both gender, both male and female. Do you understand? You becoming a son or a child of God simply means that you are a child of God. As simple as it will sound. You are a child of God. And being a child of God simply means that you are of the Spirit. 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 When you read John chapter 3, verse 6, it says that flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So if you are a child of God, and according to John chapter 4, right, I think verse 24 or so, says that God is spirit. God is spirit. Yeah, it's verse 24. Say God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and truth. So if God is spirit and you are a child of God, and spirit begat spirit, it means that you are a spirit. So no wonder scripture says that those who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation. Their old self are passed away. Their old self of the human nature, of the fleshy nature, are passed away. And they are what? New. I just want you to get these concepts very clear so that we can move on. So you being a son gives you entitlement. And that entitlement comes with first power. It comes with first what? Power. It comes with what? Power. And the power or the authority is what I want us to dwell on. I want us to dwell on. Now the question is, what power? Do you understand? And what is the power meant for? What power and what is the power meant for? Now, before I begin, I want you to understand that if you believe, like I said earlier, if you have believed in Christ Jesus, or if you believe, you have to receive. You have to receive everything Christ did, and you have to receive everything Christ has to offer. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, being a child of God comes with power, and therefore you have to receive the power as well. And not knowing becomes a problem. Not knowing becomes a problem. When you read Galatians chapter 3, right, carefully, it elaborates the need for the child to know of who he is, what he or she has, and to grow into it. So as long as the child remaineth a child, that's how the Bible puts it, that child is handed over to a tutor, somebody to take care of him. So which means it's a responsibility for the child to grow. That's how the scripture puts it. As long as the child remaineth a child. So you can be grown, right? You can be an adult. But if you have decided to be a child, if you remain a child, then you will need someone to. And today we have believers as such that have refused to grow. Growing in what aspect? Growing in the knowledge of God and in the things of God. You can't grow in the things of God and forgo the knowledge. It is the knowledge that will bring the growth in other things. So yes, you'll be capable of doing other stuff. But when something small hits you, because you are not grounded in the knowledge of Him, in the knowledge of God, you find yourself wanting. You find yourself wanting. So it is important for you to know or to acquire knowledge. in the dimension where you find yourself. And that dimension is in the sonship of God. In the sonship of God. So your sonship title comes with power and authority. And I said we'll dig into it to know what the power is and what it is intended for. Matthew 16:19. The book of Matthew 16, verse 19. Scripture says, I'm reading from the NIV. Scripture says, let me start from let me go back a bit from the preceding verse. Scripture says, verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades will not overcome it. Sorry. Now I would explain this particular verse in the probably another lesson, right? I may say something about it, and I'll find time to come and teach it in another time. Now, verse 19 says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." In other words, I will give you the right to unlock. Because what a key does is to give you the enablement, the potency of opening and locking. That's what a key does. In other words, the power to open and the power to close. Do you understand? So he will give us the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So, what power are we talking about here? That was the question that brought us to this particular side. What power are we talking about here? The scripture has made it clear. It's a power that enables you to open and to close. The power to open and to close. To open what? To open whatever is related to the kingdom of God. And to close whatever is related to the kingdom of darkness. Yes. Now, what are the things in the kingdom? What are the things in the kingdom? That is a legitimate question. What are the things in the kingdom? Now, and are we going to use those keys when we get to heaven, as some may say? Now, there is a whole lot of misconceptions about the entitlement of a believer. And tonight, I want to make this clear. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, right? Whatever you receive from him, like I said, is a full package. So, according to John chapter 3, verse 16, whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. When you read further, it says that he that believeth on him is not condemned. So, your eternal life begins on this earth. Now, remember, I said that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So the eternal life we are talking about is not, has nothing to do with your fleshy or your fleshy body or the fleshy self you are seeing. Understand this. We are talking about your spirit. So when you receive Christ, you receive the eternal life of God, because Christ is the life. He's the life. He's the life eternal. So when you receive him, you receive life. And that life begins on this earth. Death simply is the shedding of this body. Death is simply the shedding of this body, according to the epistle of Peter and the epistle of Paul. Is the shedding of this body, you dropping this body. But your real self is your spirit man. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. So, you accepting Christ or you receiving Christ comes with that entitlement, and your life begins now. So the kingdom of God begins on this earth. Yes, because the life you have been given to live, that life is of the kingdom. And if you are living the life, it means you are living the kingdom. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. So no wonder when Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples how to pray. Is it like, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Thy will be done. Now, as he was speaking, as it is in heaven. So in other words, whatever is going on in the kingdom, whatever is going on in the kingdom should also happen on the earth. So while we are on this earth, we speak the things of the kingdom to happen. And that is the opening the Bible is referring to. You open the things, the doors in the kingdom, so that they will manifest here on this earth. And funny enough, as things may sound, if you don't know this, you give the devil a room to operate. Yes. If you don't know, you have the power to decide what happens and what doesn't happen. Yeah, having the keys to open and to close means you have the power to decide what happens and what doesn't happen. And if you don't know this, it means that you will accept anything that happens. You accept things that happens. And sometimes when we talk about new creation realities and what a believer is supposed to look like, all right, sometimes we imagine and we compare to some of the believers we know, even sometimes ourselves, and realize that we are falling short of so many things. The way we must carry ourselves in terms of perspective, the way we think and those things, we realize that we fall short. We tend to give room for the ideologies of this world and the perceptions of this world. And we even think in the perspective of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. John chapter 17, when Jesus Christ was praying for the disciples. You can equally see that in John chapter 4. In fact, read from John chapter 14 all the way to 17. It's a complete package. Do you understand? We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So the way we think, the way we do our things, our perception and our perspective, our aspirations and the way we do our things should reflect that of the kingdom. Someone walks into the hospital today and they have been told that they have been diagnosed with this particular sickness and they accept it as such. In fact, you have the power to change the verdict of every situation. You have the power to change the verdict of every situation. So he said he will hand over the keys of the kingdom to us. Right, and we will open and we will close. So no wonder in Luke chapter 24 verse 49, he told them, tarry in Jerusalem and wait until you are endowed with power. And that power is the Holy Spirit. That power is the Holy Spirit. But while he was even on this earth, he released, or let me say, he delegated some of the powers, even to the disciples. And I'm going to read scriptures to confirm it. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Mark 3, verse 13. And this would prescribably tell us the use of the keys, or the key, on this earth. The use of the key on this earth. Mark 3, I'm reading verse 13. And Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 designating them apostles, that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out what demons. So the power gives you the ability, the potency to talk about the kingdom, and that is to preach. So when I hear believers say that, oh, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, I'm not so and so, I'm just a believer, I just come to, are you serious? What we have received, we share. What we have received, we give. So by default, we are ambassadors of Christ, as the Epistle of Peter describes it. By default, we are a royal priesthood, as the book of Peter describes it. By default, we are a holy nation, as Peter described it. So by default, we are being given the mandate to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And when you read further, it tells you those he appointed. There was Peter, who was Simon, and so on. Including the one who betrayed him, Judas. Yes, he knew he was going to betray him. But like I shared yesterday during time out, God doesn't take away our free will. The choice is in your hands. He gives each and every one equal opportunity. God is without favoritism. God doesn't favor anyone. God doesn't love anyone better than the other. Yes, that's what we don't know. It is your how you are poised, or your posture determines what you receive from God. When I talk about your posture, your perception, your understanding of things, and where you put yourself, determines what you receive from the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So Judas was part of those appointed. So if we're talking about those who casted out demons, Judas Iscariot was one of them. All right. So that was just by the way. So the power was given for us to exercise it in the place of sharing the gospel, and also overthrowing the kingdom of God, that is the kingdom of the devil, sorry, that is by driving out demons and that stuff, and to establish the kingdom of God in the midst of his people, in the midst of his people, in the midst of his people. So no wonder when you read the book of Matthew chapter 28, in the chapter 16, he told them, he was going to give them the power. In the chapter 28, verse 18, he commissioned them. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. So he promised them he would give them the keys. Now he came and told them that. Now all that authority that pertained to the key in heaven and on earth has been given to me now. Therefore, go, because it has been given to me now. Now you have the audacity to go. Therefore, go and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of what? Ages. Commanding them to do what? Teaching them to do what? Obey everything I have commanded. So what we receive, we give out. What we receive, we tell others. What we receive, we teach others. So our mandate is to share what we have. Now, I'm going to read the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 7. Mark 6, verse 7 says that, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them the authority over evil spirits. He called them unto himself and gave them the power over evil spirits, or the authority over evil spirit. Now Luke chapter 9, verse 1. I'm reading all the scriptures to confirm or affirm what I'm saying. And when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure all diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So we are there to preach the kingdom of God. Like I said earlier, we are there to preach the kingdom of God. We are there to preach the kingdom of God. And sometimes when I'm doing deliberations like this, and I come out with some issues, you may think I am into to attack others and that stuff. No, I am not doing that. What I intend to do is to establish the truth. Now, anytime you are being given the privilege to share a word with someone, what you are to share is the kingdom, not your personal experiences. Yes, you may slide in your experiences, but don't make that the core of whatever you are sharing. Slide in your experiences based upon a state where you were and what the Lord did. And do you understand? That is a testimony and a testament. It is allowed. But for you to anchor the whole thing based upon your experience, and, you know, some even go further to establish doctrines based upon it. No. What you are to share is the kingdom of God. So any message you stand to share that has no clear core picture of Christ in it, please, you are in error. Let me put it that way. You are in error. So today we have so many preachers around talking about so many things, and sometimes I wonder whether the words of it all is for us to advise people based upon our experiences and that stuff. Preachers will mount microphones up and they will be like, hey, be careful the kind of friends you keep. Yeah, we ought to be careful the kind of friends we keep, right? Paul said, do not be deceived, for evil communication corrupts good manners. So you have to be careful with the friends you keep. Now, you go further, you'll be born papa, not a bonita worker. And those things are worldly thoughts, are worldly counsels. And sometimes when you're on social media, you see so many preachers with so many messages of that sort. And I ask, is that why you have the platform? The essence of the platform is for you to talk about Christ. Is to talk about Christ, for God's sake. Any message that doesn't depict Christ must not be shared. So the message we carry out there is about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand, and therefore repent. Repent because salvation, there is a means. There's a way out. There's a way of escape. Our emphasis is not on the destruction that is coming. Our emphasis is on the love of God, the way of escape that has been made available for us. So we lay our emphasis, our focus on that, and talk about the love of God. That God so loved the world, despite our disobedience and our fallen state, he made a provision for us. He made a provision. He has made the provision. And that provision is Christ Jesus. He is the only way to God. He is the only way to eternity. Eternal redemption. Declare the kingdom of God with power and with the authority that has been given unto you. Are we getting what I'm trying to say? So scripture is saying that Christ called them and he gave them the power and authority. I like the rendition here. He gave them the power and the authority. The power and the authority. So we have the designated place, right, that this guy is so officer. But for him to function properly as an officer, he needs the legitimate right to exact some actions, and that is the power. So power is the ability for you to do something. Do you understand? So God gave us that place, that entitlement, right, that puts us in the place of authority, and added the power to it, the power to take actions, the power to sway things, the power to change things, and the power to free things. And it will be in our best interest to know this. That's why we are sharing this. Because if you know not, then it will be like someone who has a stick or a weapon and you are being attacked by a dog, and yet you stand still. So we need to know this and understand this. So the authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. So diseases has no power. Demons and their courts have no power, because we have been given the power over them. And when you read further to chapter 10, right? Chapter 10, he sent out the 72. And when they came back, they were happy and that stuff. And they were testifying that demons were bowing to them. They were submissive to them and that stuff. And in the verse 18, well, let me start from verse 17 where they were talking. And the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And one of the edge, that's one of the edge. I'll come and talk to you about it. The name. In your name, they submitted to us in your name. And he replied, that Jesus Christ replied, for me, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And he said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power, not some of the power, but all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. 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 Nothing will harm you. So it is important you recognize what you have. You have something that the enemy doesn't want you to know you have. And today, by the grace of God, you have come into the light of it. That you are a child of God. And not just a child, but a child that carries authority, a child that carries power, a child that carries what is required to exercise dominion on this earth. And it's important you walk in this perspective. Yes, walk in this perspective. You can't know something and walk or behave as if you don't know. What you know, you live it or you walk it. Hope you understand. If you know how to use a smartphone, right, you won't need someone to come and show you how to need to use the smartphone. By default, you will want to use a smartphone, because especially if you can afford it, because you know how to use it. But if you don't know how to use it, then there will be the challenge of using it, and therefore the idea of even using it will not be there. So we have come to the light of this. We have come to know this. And therefore, we have to walk in this perspective that we are children of God. We are children of God. We are children of God. And I'm believing I'll continue this before even maybe I might go to the other edge or to talk about something else. I may come and further this before I step into another edge. You see, if you are a child of God, right, it puts you in a particular place as a child of God, and that place is a place where you can easily exercise your authority. So when John was writing his subsequent narrative, or his third, his first epistle, he said in chapter 3, he said, that is 1 John chapter 3, he said, how great is the love of the Father? Sorry, he said, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You see, I don't know, I like the writings of John so much that, you see, he makes things very clear and plain. No debate about it. Is it how great is the love of God towards us that we should be called sons of God? It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. And he went on to say that because that is what we are. He didn't say that's what we will be. That is what we are. We are children of God. We are sons of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So the reason the world is not accepting that you are a child of God, that you are of the kingdom, is that they don't know him. So if equally, if the world has chosen not to see you as such, you, the believer, you, the child of God, who knows, should not also walk as if you don't know who you are. Verse 2 says that, dear friends, now are we children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope, in other words, and everyone who has this thought, and everyone who has this perception in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Amen. So we are children of God. We are sons of God. We are sons of God. So do not make the mistake of seeing yourself as I want to say, as a descendant of Adam, which is true. But now you have been born again. You have been regenerated. So as much as you want to say that, see yourself more as a direct descent, a direct stock of Christ. We believe and we receive him. So you receive who he is into you. So whoever Christ is who you are on this earth. In place of authority, in place of power, in place of everything. In place of everything. So no wonder he told them, that the things you see me do, you're going to do even more than that. So no wonder too, he told them that in the kingdom of God, the least among the least is greater than John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist existed before his redemptive work. When I say before he died. So he said, among those who are born of women, that is, you can count from after Adam and Eve, the descendants of men, all the way down, none of them is greater than John the Baptist. That's what he was saying. Including the Elijah, the Elishas, and also all sort of, all right? That is in Matthew, I'm reading Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 12. And I wish you even start from verse 11, right? Verse 11. It says that, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. But yet, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, because we carry the very essence of God, and that is the Holy Spirit. That is another edge. I'll come and talk about it. Believers, we have something the world doesn't have. And therefore, we should learn to appreciate what we have. And you can only appreciate it when you know. And we are sharing this for you to know. For you to know what you have. And when you appreciate it, you will use it. You are a child of God. And like I said, I'll come and throw more light on we being the child of God, child or children of God. Let me put it that way. We being a child of God as an individual, and we being the children of God as a collective. Now, are we clear on that? So it is important you know this. You have power. You have power, and therefore use the power that you have. If you know you have power and you don't use it, it's an abuse of power. If you are using it and you are using it wrongly, it's also an abuse of power. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes. If you have the power and you're not using it, it's an abuse of power. Where you ought to make things right, you make things right. If you don't make things right, you are abusing the power. All right. So I will end here, and it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit will give you more understanding into this. And after this live cast, the message will be on our podcast channel for you to access it once again. You can only listen to it over and over and over, and that is the only way you can get in depth of what I'm saying. And I believe the Holy Spirit will even minister to you in a better perspective than I am, in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time and the wonderful privilege to hear your word. We pray, we commit what we have received into your hands. As the seed fell, we declare that may this seed be a seed that has fallen on a good ground. It shall gain roots, and it shall be well grounded in us, in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare that the word we have heard will be a beacon in our life, a beacon that will shine and direct our path, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father Lord, let your name be glorified, for I have shared this in your name, and therefore the rest is unto you. Spirit of the living God, yes, the conviction, the persuasion, the understanding, and whatever must come after this, it's your work. Do it that will give you glory. Do it and perform it that we shall give you thanks. For a true encounter, a genuine encounter with you in your word is enough for a lifetime transformation. Spirit of the living God, let us have an encounter with you, and let your word transform our life. In Jesus' name I pray, and we shall say amen. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you. Till then, until next week, may the Lord keep you. Until we meet again, may the favor of the Lord shine upon you. In Jesus' name I pray. Bye. Shalom.